Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom! 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 Mommy! 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 Mama!
You're panicking!
Uh-huh! Join me, won't you?
I don't care if the entire cast of Eight is Enough comes out of there!
Is that chocolate or poop? Is that chocolate or poop?
It's chocolate.
What if that had been poop?
Oh, she's pregnant. Can't have a bunch of old pregnant bitches running around. Crazy.
Not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
Let's be bad moms.
Oh, I'm in.
Right?
Oh my gosh. Okay, this is exciting. I'm in.
Mom! Mommy! Mommy! Mama! Mama! Mama!
What?
Hi.
Fuck the wall. Bring me mine.
Welcome to Mamas and Merlot. This is Vanessa, and joining me for this week's episode, as always, are Christy and Stephanie. And this episode that you're about to hear is the second half of last week's episode, because the night we recorded this, we went just a teensy bit long. So this week we're just going to be, you know, talking about our kids, and we had a listener question so that we will be answering this week. So thank you so much for checking us out. We love your faces, and cheers. Go back.
Hey guys, thanks so much for holding. We're back. So Christy was just about to tell us a fun Nathan story.
The other day, if anybody here is a big fan of Amazon Prime, you are.
This is a huge Amazon house.
Yeah. We also are in the area that, thank God, has Amazon Prime Now.
Yes, thank God for Prime Now.
Yeah, so, but there's now, they've upped their fucking minimum delivery. Because it used to be $25.
Yeah,
and now it's like 30, like almost 31, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff had to order some cables because he's working from home and our internet's a little spotty in our room. So he just like hardwires in. So he ordered the cables from Amazon Prime Now, and it said that it needed like 10 more bucks. And he was like, what should I get? And he's like, oh, I'm going to get a little toy for Nathan. So he looks, and he looks up Legos, and there's a Lego dinosaur kit that is there for 10 bucks. So he orders it. And then when yesterday he gets home and Nathan was good at school, so he was like, oh, you know, let's build Legos together. And what we started doing was, because when he bought him this whole cars set, mm-hmm. and he started playing with the cars set, and like pieces just started flying everywhere,
right?
Because he would crash them into each other and stuff like that. So we started gluing them together. So basically when he makes it, he just glues it together and it becomes just a model. So he starts playing with Nathan, and he's showing Nathan, okay, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do this. And Nathan picks out the pieces for him to use. He gives Nathan the instruction book. He says, okay, which is the next piece? And the box says you build three dinosaurs, a triceratops, a pterodactyl, and a T-Rex. So he asks Nathan, and Nathan goes, oh, let's build the pterodactyl. He builds the pterodactyl, and he glues it together, and he gives it to Nathan, and Nathan's like, oh, thank you, Daddy, blah, blah, blah. Let's build the Triceratops now. And that's when Jeff looks at the box and looks at the pieces in front of him and realizes that it's, yes, it's built three dinosaurs. As in, you can interchange the pieces to make three different dinosaurs.
Yeah, those labels are misleading.
Yeah. So since Jeff had promised Nathan, and when he told Nathan that there was only, that's all he could get. That's all he could get. He was like, but if I would have known, I would have wanted the T-Rex because that's my favorite. So today, Amazon Prime Now delivered two other boxes of the Lego dinosaurs to my house.
Nice.
So we have spent the $10, oh, let's add this to the order, became a $30 investment in Legos.
Well, kids are fun.
Can you say the word sucker?
Yeah, that kid knows how to work, yeah. You guys. 1,000% he knows how to.
But he's so cute.
That's why he knows how to work, you guys. This is why you need a second kid. Because then you're too busy focusing on the baby to be like, but I wanted the Stegosaurus. I don't have time for your Stegosaurus right now. And then you don't buy $30 worth of Legos that you didn't need.
Yeah, Vanessa, how did that go when you, like, he asked you to put gas in your fishy? You've seen my child.
I know. But I was playing with him. He's not mine. I can do whatever I want with him because...
Exactly.
Well, not
your kid. Adorable fucking child.
Yes, I know.
Well, both of them. But whatever he wants.
Your kid broke out of the room tonight when Christy got here.
Yeah, your kid can get whatever he wants. Just like my kid. Get whatever they want. Lincoln comes over to me. Can I have it? Sure.
But it's easier to say no when you have two because you have to consider if I get it for one, I have to get something for the other one. And then you say, you know what? I'm not spending that much money. No to both of you. And then you move on. You don't spend $30 unnecessarily on Legos.
I know.
Well, Link today.
Speaking of spending money unnecessarily.
Link today, I come home and he's like, Mama, I want to go to the toy store. And he's been saying for a couple of days he wants to go to the toy store. I've just kind of been ignoring it. And I'm like, why do you want to go to the toy store? And he looks at me like I'm fucking dumb.
And he goes,
to buy more toys.
Duh.
And he says it like with that attitude, like to buy more toys.
Christmas just fucking passed.
Seriously. I that was my response. I looked at him and I go, do you not see the giant fucking, I didn't curse, but I mean, do you not see the giant,
oh, that's right, you got that fucking giant Thomas
train station that was fucking $80.
Screw that, forget the price, it's fucking huge.
It's bigger than him, it's taller than him.
That's fun for hours, kid. Don't you understand? Fun for hours.
I told him, like, don't you want to go play with your giant Thomas train station that Santa brought you for Christmas? And he goes, not right now.
And I want like, new toys.
You
son of a bitch.
Fucker.
I had a really cute moment with Oliver today. We went to go see Coco because AMC. Yeah, because AMC brought it back and Oliver's been asking you for weeks to watch Coco. And
he's been asking for it because he's been seeing it on like the pre-order for iTunes.
Right, because it's coming. We know, already
like 2 weeks.
Yeah, we already pre-ordered it, so I know it's coming. But he's been wanting to watch it, and he was really good this week. And then I saw that AMC brought it back for this weekend, so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take them after school on Friday. So we were watching the movie. It was Sophie and Oliver was sitting in between us, and then me. And the scene where Miguel's performing for the first time, where he's singing Poco Loco, Oliver and I just looked at each other and we were singing along together, and it was really cute. Like, we had a sing along and we were like, un poco loco, and it was really adorable. I'm like, oh, this is so fun.
Oh, I think I just got chocolate.
Well, I never get to have like a day with Link because like I'm always working, but
how dare you, how dare you earn money for your family,
how dare I how dare I hustle.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, so
baby
like
boss.
Over Wednesday night, Link started throwing up overnight. I'm really fortunate. I don't know what it is that I have like the foresight of like anytime he's ever thrown up overnight, he's always been in my bed. Like he's never been alone.
Oh, good deal.
That's great.
I personally know of, I don't know the people personally, but I know of someone that's close to a family with like a 2-year-old that like vomited in her sleep and like choked to death.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
Yeah. So I'm like super paranoid about that shit. But for some reason, anytime Link has ever thrown up overnight, like in his sleep, he's been in our bed. So he threw up Wednesday night, but between Wednesday night and Thursday morning, he threw up 4 times overnight. And I was like, I'm keeping him home and I'm taking him to the doctor because this flu thing cannot happen.
So I went. Yeah, no, we're not allowing that to happen in our house.
So I took him to the doctor to get like a flu test and a strep test or whatever. It ended up just being like a stomach bug. And it actually, it is a stomach bug that's going around because three other kids had to get picked up from school today because they were throwing up. So it is a stomach bug that's going around in his class. So, but I got to spend like the day with him yesterday and I never got to spend the day with him.
That's nice.
So, but since he was sick and I was being lazy, like before and after the doctor, we just laid in bed and like watched TV. And but he was like cuddly. It was cute.
I love that. Like Nathan's gotten to the point that now, like, he's very cuddly. Mm-hmm. Well, he's always been, but like now it's like since he's mommy, like obsessed, like he'll just sit next to me, like want nothing else. Like he'll just like either with the phone or with the TV or whatever. And he just like sits there. And
my brother-in-law gave him his old iPod Touch, so now Lincoln has a phone, quote unquote. So he goes, "Mama, where's my phone?" And he'll sit there and he'll watch like his YouTube. Like we have like his apps and his YouTube, whatever on it. And he'll sit there and he fucking discovered Blippi yesterday. Sorry. All your fault.
I told you if Dave wants to dress up, like, oh my god,
Dave's not gonna dress up as fucking Blippi.
Okay, we'll talk later. But Jeff didn't think he would be dressing up like Blippi either.
You guys should be adults. You can say no. Okay. You understand that you have the authority.
That's what I'm telling you.
To say
that
no.
Kid knows how to work you
he
guys.
He does know how to work you guys.
Yeah, but when your child wants,
you know why? She's an older mother. Yes. That's
why. Fuck you both.
When you're old, you don't care to parent.
She's too tired. That's the tired problem. To parent.
Whatever he wants.
She lived her life already.
Listen, if it's going to make him happy, fuck it.
My headphones fell off.
That's you're descarada.
Hijo de viejo. I'm telling you.
Fuck you all. Okay, so we have a listener.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Hi, listener.
That sent us a message. And Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Sarah, longtime fan of the Geek Bro family of podcasts. And she sent us that she loves hearing from us and stuff like that. But she said that she has a topic that she wants to talk about. One, she has like two or three questions.
Yeah, it's a couple of questions.
First question. So, how do you make friends that actually don't suck as an adult?
The only new friend I've made as an adult in the last couple of years is Christy, so I don't know. I'm a bad person to ask about this.
No, but we have cut people out.
No, we have cut people out.
So, I feel like the way that I want to answer this question is not so much about making friends, because it's hard for me to make friends now that I don't have a day job, because...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much Christy is, like... All of the new friends that I've had recently, Christy's like...
Hashtag no new friends.
Yeah. They've all come from a day job. Yeah. And I don't have one of those now. So...
It's harder if you don't get out
because,
there to
meet people. Yeah, because I don't have, like, a steady group of people that I see all the time for me to be like, okay, well, this person is this, that, or whatever. But what I have learned in my age is that I don't need to stay friends with shitty people.
Yeah, that is true.
If there's somebody in your life that sucks ass... Just
you don't
stop.
Have to be,
you don't have to be friends with that person.
They don't necessarily suck ass, and but you've just outgrown the friendship. I've found that in the last like 3 or 4 years, I've outgrown a couple of friends, and I was just kind of hanging on to them just because
nostalgia.
Just because of nostalgia, and there's been so much history or whatever. But like, you get to a point where you realize like we don't really have much in common anymore, and we don't really like.
I don't
wish you ill will, and I don't want bad things
for
you.
It's not about fighting with a person. It's not just about, like, she did me wrong or whatever.
It's just you.
It's just, like, the friendship, it reached the end of the line. Like and that's totally fine.
Right.
Yeah, there's
some people, although I will say this, some people are not okay with realizing when that happens, and then they
get mad
and then they think that you did something to them. So it's not always reciprocal in the sense of you can, you know, just agree to like just not necessarily like, part ways, but you can just agree to like, you know, like we can just like be acquaintances or whatever. Yeah. Like we don't have to like be as close as we were. You know, like I have a friend in particular that like when we were younger, like in high school, not in high school, but in college and stuff, she was like my friend that I would do fun shit with. Like if I wanted to like go to South Beach and do, you know, like let's go to the like a spontaneous like
party,
let's go party, like that was this friend for me, and we were really close for a long time. But like as we started to get older, like I just figured out that we just didn't have anything in common outside of the things that we used to do.
Right.
So once like life starts getting hashtag too real, you know, and it's just like growing up shit. Like if you as you start to get married and have kids and like move and have a house and all this stuff, there's things as you start to grow up and leave people behind, like maturity wise, they kind of don't always take well. And
sometimes it also happens naturally. Mm-hmm. Like you realize like this is a person that I would text every day. And then one day you wake up and you're like, wow, I haven't heard from this person in weeks or months or whatever. And it wasn't because you did anything wrong or they did anything wrong. It just, you've naturally kind of separated right. from each other.
And so there's a difference. Like there's like, there's a poem out there that a friend of mine swears by, and it's a reason, a season, and a lifetime.
Yeah.
And there's some
people, I was gonna say that earlier in a cheesy way, but
it's really true. Cheesy, but that's, it's what it
but
is.
It's true.
It's there is people that are in your life for a lifetime. Like these are the people that are forever gonna be your friends, their family. Like doesn't matter how far you live away from each other, these are the people that grow with you.
Yeah.
Then there's people that are your friends for a season, for the going, like, you know, there are people from a couple years.
Right. You guys, or there's bond, like somebody that you work together, you're going through a breakup or whatever, and that's the person that helps you through that. And then once you're over it, and once you're through that problem or whatever,
you both move on and you go, yeah, this doesn't mean.
I was just about to say, like, you have no more use for this person, which is awful.
Yeah.
That is not the right.
That doesn't necessarily mean you hate each other.
No, it's just that you've come to the point where your friendship.
It's ran its course.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes course.
You are, like, friends with someone from. Like this happened to me recently also, like where you're friends with someone from childhood, and like I in particular hung on to this friendship for nostalgia because there was so much history that I just didn't want to let it go, like despite all the other
all the red flags
for years, and I just didn't want to let go of it just because there was like so much time behind it. And sometimes you don't even like, even someone that you think has been there for a lifetime or whatever, like, isn't supposed to be there. Or not that it isn't supposed to be there, but you just grow apart. Like, you just grow in different directions.
Yeah.
So
there's as far as in your life right now, especially when you get older, honestly, and as the wise elder of the group, I can tell you, honestly, it's just to the point that just find people that you don't hate their faces.
Yeah.
Like people that you can talk to every day or text or see.
We'll be friends with you, Sarah.
Yeah. Like people that like, but really, if when it comes to making friends, honestly, work
or like, for example, my brother and his girlfriend, they met at CrossFit. So like you can, I mean, that's a boyfriend, girlfriend, romantical kind of relationship. But they met doing something they both liked and something they both enjoyed. And I've seen some of my friends from high school that were like, we just follow each other on Instagram and Facebook because, you know, we're friends from high school. And I see them making new friends because of CrossFit or because of, you know, a class that they took or just getting out there, you know.
Like, and that's a big thing. You put yourself out there. You introduce yourself or you just...
Right, like you're not going to make a friend just going to a class and being quiet.
Right.
You have to like, oh, hey, I like your top, or oh, hey, you know, where'd you get your shoes, or like kind of try to talk to people.
Like use humor as a defense mechanism.
Yeah, or if you're a mom, you know, there's mommy and me classes that you can go to and you can meet moms with kids. I mean, because I know Sarah's not a mom because her next question is in reference to that.
Which actually, but it does work into that because... she does tell us that she is has talked with her fiance about in the future, in the next couple of years, to have a child.
Well, and before we get into the question, I just want to say, like, for the mom listeners, use your kids to make friends, man. Like, actually, I've become friendly. We're not really friends, but I'm friendly with a mom in Sophie's class because Sophie and her daughter were in the same class last year, and now they're in the same class this year. And it turns out that she knows Neri because she works at one of the local casinos here, and Neri's done shows for the casino, so she recognized Neri when we went to an open house one day, so she approached us. And now when I see her, I feel like, okay, well, she approached us first, so now when I see her, we say hi. Last time we chaperoned a field trip together, she and I kind of stuck together because we already knew each other, like we quote-unquote knew each other. But just like that. And now I feel like I have her phone number. We're friends on Facebook. So I feel like if I have a problem with the class or I have a question or whatever, I feel comfortable enough that I can reach out to her. We're not friends, like real friends, like that I talk to her on a daily basis, but I do have that level of comfort where I can be like, hey, is your daughter going through this too, or did you get the grade back for this, or how do you feel about the teacher? So we have like a kind of common thing, yeah, which is our kid, and they have the same teacher, so we had somewhere to start already. So that's where I feel like if you have something in common, like your gym class, or you know, if you're in a book club, like the three of us. And Steph, did you join the book club?
I haven't read the book yet, but that's on my to-do list for my week off.
Right, but I'm saying, like, you are now in the book club.
No, I have to do it.
Okay, well, Q is in a book club, and the three of us, including Missy, have kind of jumped in on book club. And now I feel like that's a group of people that we haven't met in person.
Yeah, I want to know who Andy is in person.
I think he's a comic, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know, but he is amusing the fuck out of me.
but see what I mean, like we have this little group of people now, because it's not really that many people, but we have this little group of people now where we can find new friends, and we may not like the people. One of the girls in the book club, her sister went to high school with us. I'll tell you
I'm gonna need a name later.
I will.
But yeah, you just look for the outlets. Do I know look her? For the things like that. But and one of the reasons that I was bringing up,
do I not like her thing,
I'm not sure.
Yeah. And Stephanie doesn't like anybody. One of the things that reason I was bringing up the possibility of what that you were looking to have children is because when you get pregnant, one of the things.
Huge red flag. Yeah. Huge red flag.
Yeah. I wrote the name down.
Trump red flag.
Oh, move on. Yep.
So one of the things that we all realized is that, like, I got lucky enough. Not everybody's this lucky. You guys got lucky that when you got pregnant, mm-hmm, a friend of yours got pregnant.
Okay, when I got pregnant, it was like fertile season because everybody.
Yeah, and when I got pregnant, in my my group of like my best friends outside of like these girls, that
your core,
yeah, like my core that I've known from college, are like there's 13 of us. In the 13 of us, yeah,
I don't even like that many people.
Yeah, like of the 13 of us, six of us got pregnant in the same year.
Yeah.
So everybody,
well, that's just statistics at that point.
Yeah,
yeah, there's so many of you, it's bound to happen.
And two of them already had kids. Right. The other one, the other three, four are single. So it was like numbers, like it was a numbers game.
Same thing when I got pregnant with Oliver in that same year. It was 2014. I'm just thinking about family right now. Mm-hmm. When my cousin's daughter was born, the same day I found out I was pregnant with Oliver. 6 weeks later, my best friend found out she was pregnant with her son. Then my cousin found out she was pregnant with her daughter. Link was born. Nate had just been born a month before I found out I was pregnant with Oliver. My brother-in-law's baby was born in March.
So you were pregnant in that picture of you were holding Nathan when you first met him at the office?
What? Do you remember what month that was?
No, he was already born.
I saw that picture the other day. Probably.
Yeah.
Well, most probably I was.
Yeah. Sorry. Just thought about that. But
oh, it's their first picture together.
Yeah. I was like, oh. But like, so sometimes you get lucky and there's people around you that are pregnant, and
I'm going to go back and find it.
This is going to sound like really strange, but it'll make way more sense when you are actually pregnant.
Oh my God, I just had a
time. You need a pregnant friend.
Yeah.
You need somebody that's either pregnant with you or has just been pregnant, because one, you are going to talk about all sorts of crazy shit. And then two, when the kids are born, that's that bitch that's going to talk to you at 2 a.m. when you're both awake and need somebody to talk to on the phone. So scour your friends, family, relatives, OBGYN office.
The other thing that I wanted to piggyback off of something that Vanessa said, once you do have kids that are in like school age, and I don't know, like I've been able to kind of form like
No, we've told you about this. Stop doing that shit.
No, but
stop making new friends. Stop it.
They're fine.
Stop making new friends.
You would actually like them.
Probably. They're but cool stop chicks. Making new friends.
They're cool chicks and they drink
a lot. I understand that, which is why I like them. I don't even know them, but I'm okay with them. But stop. Because I do have that picture of like when you the that meme of when your friend is friends with somebody else and you're like, what the fuck is that bitch? That's what I feel when you talk
Chrissy's
about other
jealous
people.
Of my mom friends at school.
I am. I'm a little jealous. It's okay. Because you may be mean to me, but I still love you.
Whatever, Christy.
Okay, so, but no, but for real, I need you to tell Sarah about being pregnant.
If you would listen to me and put your kid in the same school my kid's in, we could have the same group of moms.
It's so stressful.
It's not.
We'll talk in a year.
You only have a year left at that school, so you have to do something anyway.
I have to make a decision, but your school's so stressful.
It's not at all.
It feels stressful.
Why is it stressful?
Why is it feels like so many rules.
No. Well, it's a private
Catholic school. It feels so many rules.
The only thing they're really crazy about is like the hair. It's really not.
So many rules.
Whatever. It's because you went to public school.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
I'm like, what?
I'm like used to this shit. So
I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't understand what Christy's problem is because it sounds totes normal to me.
Yeah. But to me, it's like, why is there so many rules? What do you mean I can't do this? Why wouldn't I? Sorry.
Well, you know what my problem is? I'm having the opposite problem because I went to private Catholic high school and I've been in private school since middle school. Neri's like, I want to give Oliver a mohawk. I'm like, but what if the school doesn't allow it? And he's like, there's no rule against a 3-year-old having a mohawk. And I'm like, but it's distracting to the other kids. I'm putting all these rules on myself that probably don't exist. And then one day we took Oliver in and his hair was spiked and the director of Oliver's school was like, oh my God, I wish my son's hair did that. That's so cool. And I was like, oh, there's clearly no.
Well, the other day.
When you had to cut Lincoln's hair to start school, I was like totally like disturbed by it. I was like, but why? What is happening?
That's
he's three.
The only thing that they're like kind of strict about is just the hair. But
who said we're all getting pregnant?
But speaking of Link's hair, this week was Catholic Schools Week and it's kind of like a spirit week sort of. And they had like a different theme every day. And Wednesday was career day.
That's in March. For Nathan,
Wednesday was career day, and I didn't like really have any outfits for career day. Like he's outgrown his suit, so I wasn't gonna go get him because it's easy to just put him in like a suit and like a shirt and like he'd be like, you know, a businessman or whatever. And like I couldn't really. And the other stuff that he has is like superhero costumes or whatever. And I'm like, you can't go as Wolverine.
Yeah, he can. That is a career.
You can't. Wolverine is not a career.
Sure it is. He could be an artist for the comics. That is a career.
Haven't you heard the thing like if you. Like, dress for the job you want. Dress like Batman every day.
Dress for the job you want. I'm going to dress as a Victoria's Secret angel.
Be yourself, unless you can be Batman.
So, David, I was like, why don't we, like, dress him up as a rock star? Like, so we just put, like, skinny jeans on him. I put, like, a Jim Morrison t-shirt on him.
He looks so cute, though.
And then I spiked his hair up. And then he wasn't watching me do it. He was like distracted because we watch cartoons in the morning. So I was just like spiking his hair up. Like I made like a little faux hawk for him. And then I still have like the baby mirror in the car, but it's facing him now so he can like see himself. And he saw himself in the mirror and he's like, Mama, what's wrong with my hair? And I'm like, what do you mean, Poppy? I spiked it up. And he goes, this is why I know that he's like, already like rebelling against me. He's like, no, it's so long. I don't like it long. I like it short. And I'm like, ugh.
Break my
heart. That's because you put him in the school that had you cut off his adorable locks.
Oh no.
Oh, his hair's not getting cut until the beginning of next school year. Because I cut his hair twice. I cut it at the beginning of the school year and I cut it over Christmas break. That's it. Because in the summer, for camp, they don't give a fuck. So because camp, they have like regular kids, like not students from the school there too. So it doesn't matter. So I through the summer, his hair grows out.
We cut Oliver's hair every 2 to 4 weeks.
Nathan's usually, it's like every month-ish. Mm-hmm. Basically, or until Jeff's parents come into town.
And we take him to a big boy barbershop.
You know, he goes to the same place, but like Jeff's parents like taking him to get his hair cut, and he actually behaves with them. So I'm like, go.
Take him.
Yeah.
No, Link likes getting his hair cut, but I won't cut his hair now until August. So
my friend was just actually texting me that her kids are
so you're allowed to have friends outside of us, but we can't.
Exactly. This is a friend I've had since college. They're approved. And they don't live here. But that she lives in Bell up in Florida. So like they don't have much like nearby. And that her sons are both like, fuck it. We don't want to cut our hair. So she's basically like just letting it happen. And that the other day at the school, like one of her kids is the one that's 2 months younger than Nathan. That's 2 months younger than Nathan told their teacher told her, he can't really see the board.
I've had that problem with Sophie, but
they're like, you know, he can't really see the board. And I'm like, yeah. See, like, this is her youngest son right now.
Let me see. So Nary and I went to dinner the other night, and we saw this little kid. We were waiting outside the restaurant, and when we saw this little kid come out with the family, and then all of a sudden, they said something to the kid, and they did it with like a male pronoun or something, or they said like boy or whatever. And Nary and I looked at each other and we're like, "That's a boy," because he was wearing a white T-shirt and ripped jeans, and he had long hair, but he was 2 or younger, so really could have been either or. But we're like, no, that really looked like a little girl. Like, I didn't even think twice. I was like, oh, that's a cute little girl. And then the family said something that was like, that's a boy. I don't know. I honestly don't, right now, I don't. Oh my god, I just remembered the super long story.
That's the one that they told her that he can't see, so she took him to the hairdresser. They made it through the front cut. They didn't get to the back, so he can at least see. But, like, you can see how messed up the front cut is, though.
Nice.
Because that's as far as, like, she got before he, like, lost his shit mm-hmm. at the haircut. But, so, besides, yeah, find a pregnant friend. It'll make life easier. So, Stephanie, how'd you feel about being pregnant?
Being pregnant is the worst
thing. Well, ask her question. Planet.
Her pregnant is, however, I have, like, slight anxiety on having something growing inside of me. How do you deal with it? I feel like I'll be the worst pregnant person.
So, I was literally the worst pregnant person, and I had probably, like, one of the easiest pregnancies of, like, a lot of people I know. Like, there's like, 2 million things that could go wrong in your pregnancy and to your baby, and, like very few of those things happened to me. I did have, they allegedly said I had gestational diabetes. I still don't believe them. But number one. And then the other thing is, what was the other thing? Oh, I was anemic. Oh, and then they had like my fragile X mutation was like a little high. And that was about it. But,
¿qué es eso?
It's like some genetic mutation that could potentially spawn, and I know you don't like this word, but this is the word that the doctor used with me. It was mental retardation.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, you're not using it in a negative way.
Right.
This is when the robots try to have babies.
they basically, like, it's kind of, it's like to get, like, not to bore people, like, there's different versions of the mutation, and, like, there's like 4 stages of the mutation. I had the second one. So they said like the worst possible scenario for a boy is... Oh, stop.
I just found a picture of Lincoln and Oliver.
When they were babies.
And Oliver was barely 2 months old.
And he was bigger than Lincoln.
And he was bigger than
Lincoln. He's like always been bigger than Lincoln. And he's 2 months... He's 4 months younger than him, and he's always been bigger
this
than
Lincoln. This is such a cute picture. I'm gonna share this when this episode...
Okay. So basically, there's like 4 stages of the mutation, and mine is like the second lowest. So the worst case scenario for boys is that it would be like slight learning disabilities, which didn't happen because Link was speaking full sentences at 18 months old and like does math and shit. And then the other thing,
your kid is too smart. I don't trust him.
The other thing, and they said for girls, what it could do, which makes a lot of fucking sense for like me and
all of your problems,
all of my issues, is there's a chance of like early menopause and early like reproductive failure and shit like that. Lovely. So I don't know that that's the right term, but anyway I'm digressing
off topic.
I did not have a pleasant pregnant experience, not necessarily because of the fact that something was growing inside me, because that part is cool, and like feeling your baby kick and feeling your baby like react to things that you eat and like react
totally
to the
pregnant with Oliver.
That's what I'm thinking. I think you were pregnant with Oliver in that picture.
Yeah, but it was already announced.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it though. Sorry.
So this was July 2014, and I announced the pregnancy with Oliver on April 1st, 2014, because I could not. That was too tempting, and I could not.
Oh, July 2014, Link was already born.
Yeah. Link had just been born.
Link was 2 weeks old, yeah.
Yeah, like, where is it?
My giant chubby child in that picture.
No, show her the picture you just found.
I will. I'll go back to it right now. Look, here's me and Link. Look at him.
Lolito.
Yeah, we were in the hospital.
Yeah. That was like the day after he was born.
Gossies.
But anyway, so, but everything else that happens to your body while you're pregnant is fucking terrible. Like, in at least in my case, like, I felt so, like, I felt like a hippopotamus from, like, the second I found out I was pregnant to the second I gave birth. No matter how much weight I gained or lost or whatever. Oliver's always been bigger than,
he was 2 months old here.
Oh. And Link was, like, six months.
Oh, and they're the same size.
Yes, they're so cute.
I need a baby, you guys. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ. look what you did, Sarah.
It's okay, because Missy already put that juju on your life.
He did. I mean, she did.
She did put it to all of us. Go look at the chat.
Oh, I know. I saw it.
But anyway, and like I'm like a little dramatic, and
no,
what?
Did you know that Chrissy Stephanie is dramatic?
No,
shut the fuck up.
Fuck you, bitches.
She's the most low-key person I know.
Continue.
Steph, it's just going to be a casual night. We're just hanging out.
But I wore flip flops with camel pants. Army pants and flip flops.
So I wore army pants and flip flops.
anyway, so like I felt like my back, I've had back problems forever, and I pregnancy just overemphasizes it. And like, I just in general didn't like being pregnant. I'm like a super independent person, and I don't like people treating me like I'm made of glass and like people trying to like intervene and do things for me. I understand that it comes from a good place.
Oh God, that was so fucking annoying though.
Really fucking annoying, because like you're pregnant, like, oh, you can't wash your dishes. Like you can't drive. Yeah. My dad, when I was like 8 months pregnant, was like, why are you driving? I'm like, cause I have shit to do.
Because I have to go places.
I have to work. Like I still have things to do.
People had me fucking driving with a pillow in front of my stomach, between my stomach.
How is that even safe?
And they're like, oh, because
that's
that way.
That's less safe.
I'm like, this is less safe. I'm like, they're like, yeah, no, you have to put a pillow. So in case the airbag deploys, the pillow.
Your belly is an airbag for the baby. Like, that's what it is.
But let me tell you, the Jominas are like, you can't do this. You can't do that. That honestly bothered me more than being
that
pregnant.
Bothered me a lot. That bothered me a lot.
The first time. It did not bother me in the second.
She's like, fuck it. I'm going to sit down.
You
want to
help? Help. Okay, so Stephanie gave you the negatives. And now I'm going to give you the glowing review. The 5-star Yelp review is going to come from me.
It sucks. Don't do it. Get a surrogate.
Loved being pregnant. Okay, well, to be fair, I have technically been pregnant 3 times. The first time was what the doctors called a missed miscarriage. Because I found out super duper early, and by the time I got in to see the doctor, I wasn't pregnant anymore. So what they think happened was that I did get an egg fertilized, it just didn't attach. And because my period is very regular is the only reason why I caught it, because had I been irregular, I would not have caught it at all. So there's that first. But the moment that, because I've taken plenty of pregnancy tests. From the moment I saw a positive pregnancy test, my first thought has always been, holy crap, what the fuck did I just do? So there's that anxiety. And I'm every single time I have seen, because with Oliver, since we were trying to get pregnant with Sophie, but with Oliver, I felt like I was like, I'm tracking my ovulation. I really need to know what's going on. And blah, 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 blah. I bought Wand Foes. They're like Chinese pregnancy tests where you just get like the teeny tiny little strip. And I got 50 of them for $25. Well, they're actually
accurate.
They are actually super duper accurate.
I found out I was pregnant on a dollar store pregnancy test.
That's what I was about to say. The dollar store pregnancy tests are actually more sensitive than the $25 like early response tests.
I got a dollar store pregnancy test because I really didn't think I was pregnant. I was like,
am I going to spend $25?
I was like, why the fuck am I going to spend like for it to give me a negative? Because I've done like the spend $25 on an EPT and they were always negative.
Yeah, how many? So, raise your hand if you've had to take a pregnancy test in a Walmart bathroom.
Oh, not at a wall in my bathroom. I always waited till I got home. I just had the decency to wait.
No, because one time Nary and I were in Marco Island and we were like, we need to know fucking right now. So we stopped at the Walmart in Marco Island. And I was like, no, I'll just wait till we get home. He's like, no, 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 you need to do it right now. So I had to take a pregnancy test in Walmart. It was negative. But anyway, I don't know about you guys, but the first time I saw pregnancy test, like, I thought I was going to die because I was like, this is fucking for real. But then after that, the very first time from like the moment I found out I was pregnant, like a week later, I went to the doctor. I was like, I can't move. I have to be really careful because the baby's going to fall out. I was
terrified. The first 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, I was terrified.
The first 3 months are kind of scary.
I wasn't just because I've had...
Well, you found out super late with me.
I did. I found out
that's why
I was almost 3 months.
Those first 3 months. But because my period is super regular, except for today, because it's 12 minutes. It's 12 days early today. But other than that, it's usually very regular. Because I'm, like, super regular, I found out... Like, I found out so early with Oliver that the doctor's like, I don't want to see you for at least a month. And I'm like, but I need to go. I want you to see me now.
I found out at 3 weeks.
Yeah. I found out super. I
randomly. It was totally a fluke that I found out. Totally a fluke.
No, we were trying. So I
was
looking.
Well, we were trying, but it was a fluke that I found out because we had decided that we were going to do a one-shot deal.
Right.
So we had the whole app that said, like, your ovulation and all that stuff. And, like, I was like, haha, I'm ovulating. He's like, let's have sex. And I'm like, okay, no protection. I already wasn't on the pill. He's like, no protection, no nothing. Let's just go. We went. Once done. Then,
wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And then, like, a couple weeks later, my friend came into town because she was going to have her baby shower. And her baby shower was going to be here and all that stuff. And, like, that was perfectly fine. Everything was great. Didn't even think about the possibility of being pregnant.
Right.
But we were all together that whole weekend. And we had been joking around with a friend of ours that was like, I've been puking for the past, our single friend. So we were picking on her about how, oh, you must be pregnant. We fucked with her so badly that she got up from Sports Grill. Stood up, walked over to the Publix next door to Sports Girl and bought pregnancy tests and came back and took a pregnancy test in the Sports
Girl. Raise your hand if you're taking a pregnancy test in the Sports Girl bathroom.
So, and then she came out, she's like, I'm fine. And the whole table erupted. Of course you are. You just had a stomach ache. And she's like, fuck you bitches. But she was joking. Those come with like two.
Right.
Yeah.
And so she gave me the other one. She's like, oh, you're trying to get pregnant. Here, take the pregnancy test. And I just threw it in my purse. Didn't even think about it. That was a Saturday night. Tuesday at work.
Were you drinking that Saturday?
Of course I was. Tuesday.
I have pictures of me at Patty's wedding reception with like two drinks in my hand. And I was pregnant with Sophie and I had no idea.
I had no idea. This was weeks later.
Well, I didn't find out till I was 10 weeks. So I was drinking a lot.
Oh, no. This is 3 weeks after, 2.5
this
weeks after.
I think it's bullshit. Yeah. Because, like, yo, that show, I didn't know I was pregnant. They're like drinking, smoking, and doing drugs. And the baby's
I have a
fine.
Friend that didn't know she was
I
pregnant.
Know.
And I know the things that she did while she
plenty
was pregnant.
Plenty of people in Chrissy's time used to drink and fucking smoke, and they're fine.
Well, look at Game
I think
of Thrones.
Everything is okay.
Cersei's pregnant. She's like, let's pour the fucking wine.
I think, like, it's all about, like, in reality, like, granted, we don't condone any of that.
Obviously
but,
not.
But I think it's an issue of moderation.
Like, in moderation. And I feel like if your body's used to it.
Like, there's people that, like, if you're drinking 3 bottles of wine or 2 bottles of wine a day or your beer or something, if you're a smoker and a drinker and you're, like, an alcoholic, yeah, there may be some complications.
But they also say that you shouldn't quit and put your body through withdrawals while you're pregnant because that's also bad for the baby.
Yeah, so, but yeah,
pregnancy is so much fun, guys.
Yeah, so on the Tuesday, I was cleaning up my purse at work because I was bored and trying to avoid doing work because that's what I used to do when I was bored at work and I didn't want to do my work. I would just organize my bag. And I found the pregnancy test and I was like, I should take this. Why do I have a pregnancy test? Oh, yeah. And I was like, you know, fuck it. I'm going to take a pregnancy test. I hadn't taken a pregnancy test since I was like 22, you know, 34.
Why not?
Why not? Went to the bathroom, took the pregnancy test, came back to my desk, sat at my desk a couple minutes later, look over.
What the? Oh, you took it back to your desk? You didn't just wait in the bathroom?
No, I didn't want to be that bored. So I get back to my computer. And I didn't think it was going to be positive. So I just had a thing. I was like, ha ha ha. I was like, how funny. And then I looked at it.
Not
I was
funny
like,
anymore.
What the fuck is that? And then me and Jeff had to go into a meeting.
Nice.
And as we're like walking into the meeting, I'm like getting up from my desk and I'm like looking for him. He's walking into the meeting and so I'm and I go, babe, look. He goes, are you fucking kidding?
You told him at work? That's so funny.
Just because I was like, I think back and like, the only reason I want to have another kid is because I want to like actually surprise my husband with like a reveal thing now.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of boring.
The very, very first time I got pregnant, I took a pregnancy test. We lived in an apartment. We had two bathrooms. So I was in the one bathroom and Nair was in the other bathroom. So I took the pregnancy test and it was positive. Homeboy was still in the bathroom and I barged in. I was like, fuck, I'm pregnant. He's like, you couldn't wait for me to finish shitting.
I did the same thing. I threw it at him and I'm like, look what you did.
Yeah, literally I'm showing it to him as we're walking into a meeting that neither one of us could leave.
Nice.
So we're sitting there and like he's literally sitting next to me going, so
you gave Jeff, the most anxious person that I know.
Seriously.
It's amazing.
I don't think you could top that.
You're fucking terrible.
He was sitting next to me and he's like, what do we do?
You're the worst.
Does this mean you're pregnant? And he was like, I don't know. So I'm under the table at this meeting. The best part about it is Nathan's godmother and like one of my.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Best friends is, she is the office manager of my PCP. So I text her and I'm like, I think I'm fucking pregnant. She goes, are you kidding me? She goes, I'm like, no, I just did a thing. She goes, what are you doing right now? I'm like, I'm in a meeting. She goes, can you be in my office at 1 o'clock? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, okay, get your ass over here. We're going to do a workup on you. And so I'm texting Jeff and I'm like, I'm going to her office. And he's like, what? Huh? I'm like, yeah. So under the table, I'm making this whole decision. And Jeff's just like sitting next to me going,
oh my God, I can just imagine the nerves.
Dying. Because it was literally, I just couldn't hold it. It was just like,
right.
Well,
that happens the first time. And then, okay, so for me, because of like the whole miscarriage thing, a month after that happened, and I still hadn't gotten in my period, and I'm like, okay, I have a blood clot. I'm dying. I'm going to die.
Nice.
I have ovarian cancer.
Exagerada. Like,
yeah. Well, if Stephanie is dramatic, hello. This is why we're friends. Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, I haven't gotten it yet. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to need to do all this stuff. So I call the doctor, and the doctor's like, okay, if you don't get your period within a week, come back in. We'll do an ultrasound and see what's going on. So I have like this whole thing built up in my head of like, I have this giant blood clot, you know, psychic cosa and all this stuff. So they're like, so I go into the doctor's office and they're like, we're going to do an ultrasound. And if there's anything to show you on the screen, we'll turn on the screen. And I'm like, okay. And I'm here thinking they're not going to turn on the screen because nothing's happening. So I'm like laying there, you know, transvaginal ultrasounds. Not fun.
No.
They're not as bad as you made them out to be, though, because I had never gotten one, and I got one, like, not that long ago.
Well, they're
terrible.
They're way more fun when you're pregnant than when you're not.
But I wasn't. They just had to, because part of my whole, like, brain shit was they wanted to check all of that shit out.
They're just kind of invasive. Like, they're not invasive. They're not uncomfortable.
It was a weird conversation.
It's like a thin dildo is what it is.
And, like, there's somebody else putting it in you that's
no,
not...
No, my doctor's
my
office...
Doctor gave me the option.
My doctor's office at this time was like, we're just going to hand it to you under the sheet and you...
Yeah, my doctor's office gave me the option. Like, do you want to put it in or do you want them to... I'm like, you can do it. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, like, the girl, like... She is the one that like put it there and so that, and I was just like, this feels odd.
Yeah, it's not uncomfortable.
It's no, just it's not. Weird. It's not a forceps. Like, yeah, it's
no,
not it's, that. It's
no, that's worse.
It's not the
paps
worst.
Paps are worse.
Paps are way worse.
20 times worse.
But it's fun when you're pregnant because there's a little baby to look at.
It's not that exciting. It's fucking Mr. Henke the Christmas poo. It's that's what it fucking looks like. Like, let's. That's like everybody was like, oh my god. And people would look at my ultrasound and be like, oh my
like
god.
A jelly bean. Like,
and I'm
it's
like,
really
it's
not
a
much to look at.
Yeah, it's like it looks like a little glow worm.
But it's
like,
worth the transvaginal ultrasound because you're seeing the little bean that's growing in your tummy. So it's worth to do it. So okay, so I go into this and Neri didn't go with me because I wasn't expecting anything. I was like, okay, they're gonna tell me that I have 3 months to live and I'll just go by myself. So
I'll just find out I'm dying on my own. It's
yeah,
fine.
Neri doesn't need to take a day off of work for this. So I go. So I go and the lady is telling me all this stuff and she's like, so we're doing the ultrasound. And then she like turns on the monitor. She's like, honey, you're pregnant. And I'm like, excuse me? What? She's like, yeah, you're pregnant. I'm like, no, that's not possible because I just had a miscarriage. Oh my gosh. She's like, no. You are pregnant. And she shows me. She's like, that's your baby. And that was Sophie. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I get home and I'm like, I'm pregnant, dude. And that was that. But with Oliver.
I'm pregnant, dude.
Yeah. So with Oliver, since I had the Wanfos, they were very, very faint. The very first one I took was like a week after I thought we got pregnant. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to like keep it to myself until I'm 100% sure because I didn't want to go through the whole miscarriage thing again. I bought 50 of them. I think I went through like 20 in the week that I was waiting to tell Neri that I was pregnant the third time. Yeah, it was because I'm like, I want to be 100% sure when I tell him. So I'm like, I'm going to make sure that the line is getting darker and darker, progressively darker. And it did. So I'm like, we're pregnant. And then I had an IUD in between Sophie and Oliver. And when we took it out, I remember it was a couple days before my birthday that year. And we were taking it out and I was like, oh my God. I'm talking to my doctor. I'm like, I'm so fucking nervous. I have so much anxiety because I'm ovulating this weekend. And she's like, don't worry. People don't get pregnant that fast. I was like, okay. I'm like,
challenge accepted.
Pretty much. And then a month later, I'm back in her office and she's like, my doctor said, I have never seen anybody get pregnant that fast. And I was like, you're welcome. So like,
so now the next person, she can tell them it's like, okay.
It's okay. Like, relax. It's fine. Whatever. So yeah. So I've taken my fair share of pregnancy tests, guys. And every single time I was pregnant, the same reaction is, what the fuck did I just do to my life? Like, I just blew my life up. But I wouldn't have it any other way because I love my kids.
Yeah. So basically, as weirded out as you will be from it,
it is totally weird.
It's so worth it. And
especially if you find out super duper
even
early.
The weird shit, you get through it and you move on. And you know what? Take advantage of.
I mean, I know Steph and I had quote unquote boring pregnancies because they were easy. Like, we didn't have. Did you have any complications? Like, any morning
sickness? She had her vagina like belt thing.
Oh, that's right. You had the varicose veins in your vagina.
I had vulva varicosa. And then at 8 months.
You also had a quote unquote geriatric pregnancy, didn't you?
It was not geriatric. No. It was a
no,
little,
that was my
it was
friend.
But I was considered
high
like
risk.
Borderline. Like, I wasn't considered high risk, but because of my
now
age.
Now you would be geriatric.
Yeah, now I would be.
Yeah, I think 35 and over, you're considered geriatric. Because
well,
because
I was 34.
37, I think.
No, 37. Yeah, because I got 37. I got pregnant at 34. He was born at 30. No, I got pregnant at 35.
Mm-hmm.
But basically,
maybe it is 37.
Yeah, but basically, what happened is like I was just like they monitored me and stuff like that. But I had vulva varicosa. But what my issue was is that at about 30 weeks, I stopped producing amniotic fluid.
Oh, that's not good.
No, not at all.
No, so I had to like overly hydrate my body. So I was put on temporary bed rest for like 3 weeks. That I had to go to the doctor every 2 days. To get checked to see how
temporary
my levels.
Bed rest that sucks just put you on fucking bed rest for 10 weeks
so I was
hey,
basically
you were almost at the finish line just let me be on bed rest damn it
yeah I had to rest for about 3 weeks and I had to drink so much water so much coconut water and eat bananas so this is why to this day I don't like bananas now because I ate so many bananas and Jeff would go to Palacio de Jugo and pick up like the jug of coconut water for me and then I was okay Nathan stayed in. We were good at 32 weeks. They freaked us out and they thought that I was going to basically be taken. They told me that if the heart rate wasn't a certain thing, they were just basically going to take me from the doctor's office straight
to OR.
To OR. So at 32 weeks, I was freaking out.
But 32 weeks is still, it's safe.
It was safer, but I was still nervous because I didn't want that. Yeah. So bad. So, but at, he actually came out at 38 weeks.
Listen, David's cousin survived at 28 weeks, so.
Yeah, my friend's kid just got 26? My friend's kid
something
is,
like that.
Sophie's BFF was a 36 weeker.
My friend's kid is right now in the NICU and she's 28 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
that's terrifying.
Yeah.
That is terrifying.
That's the scary part. Honestly, like that's the worst part. Everything that you go through being pregnant.
Yeah, the worst is once the baby is born.
The worst is like thinking that the kid's gonna be early, thinking what's gonna happen, all the tests that they like. Honestly, I could, my body could go through whatever.
Did you do an amniocentesis?
No, I did what's called maternity 21. It's basically they
blood
just
work?
It's blood work, but it's a like extra one. And they test,
but that was because of your age,
because of my age, so right. The good thing about it was it's because of my age they did that instead of an amnio, they do that. But it also tells you if there's an extra chromosome,
right?
Well, knowing if it's an extra chromosome, you know, if it's an extra Y,
right, you get the
you get the sex earlier. Yeah. On
yeah, my when I got pregnant with Oliver, Neri's sister, who's 10 years older than me, got pregnant 6 weeks after us, and she did that one. Yeah, I didn't need to do that again.
But see, the maternity
age
didn't bother me just because
no,
it was blood.
It's blood. It's not.
I got so much blood
invasive
taken out of me.
Oh, me too. Oh, God. What I love about my OBGYN's office is like the chair where they do the blood work. It's like I think when they built the office, where the chair where they put the blood work chair, it is a closet. So it's a really small space, and the chair, like the chair fits, and there's wall and wall, like there's no room next to the chair. That's why I think it was a closet. But the walls is just lined like from the armrest to the ceiling on both sides with magazine cutouts of hot guys.
That's so funny.
Like hot celebrities. And so you can like be distracted. That's while funny. They're taking blood work, and I'm like, this is amazing. This is like, I'm like, we need to do that. Okay.
See, I got lucky.
Brad Pitt.
Because I have like shitty veins, but
oh, I don't.
My doctor's office, I have shitty veins. My mom does too, but my doctor, my doctor's office got like this. Like I was the test subject. I was like the guinea pig because they got that thing that you see on Facebook and stuff like that. That like it's
the diagram
that it shows the like they project on to your skin and you can see
where
like your actual veins
that's
are.
That's cool.
So they got to like, I was like the guinea pig. Like they
as
would
soon
test
as you
it
said
on me.
You had bad veins, I thought of that Facebook thing that I've seen. That's really cool.
They had it in the doctor's office and they're like, oh, we're gonna test something on you. I'm like, what is it?
Like okay, jackass. So let's try to circle back to her question.
Yeah,
real
so
quick.
Basically,
so anxiety
listen.
Of having a thing growing in you. When the thing is growing in you, I feel like you're just super aware of it all the time. Because
I'm really nervous and really not even because it's growing in you. It's because now there's this like
you're
beginning stages of
it.
You are now responsible for something for the rest of their lives.
I feel like the moment you find out you're pregnant is really the moment you become a mom.
Yeah.
Because you're already, I mean, and I've heard this before, so it's not an original thought that I had, but you are taking care of this being, and granted it is a parasite, it's growing in you, so like it's not going to survive without you, but it's totally, if you have anxiety about it, that's totally understandable.
That's actually
because it
really
is nerve-wracking as fuck. Like I said, the very very first time, the that week that I thought I was pregnant and then I lost it or whatever, it I was the person that was like bouncing around the office, and I would jump up and I would talk to somebody, and I was like super bouncy and all over the place. And then that week that I was pregnant, I was like, I can't move. Like if I sit down too hard, it's gonna be bad for the baby. And then once you actually are like really pregnant and really into it, you know you can move, you can do things. Like it takes a minute to get over it, but the moment you find, at least for me, like I found out I was pregnant, and in my head I was seeing like a little circle, and inside the little circle was a little bean, and I'm like, there's the little bean, and that's what's like floating, it's in my, and I would like imagining in my brain it's like under behind my belly button. I know it's much lower than my belly button, but that's where in my head I was seeing it. And I'm like, it's there. I need to like be careful and I need to like protect it and all this stuff. And after a minute, you kind of get used to it and you kind of just move on with your life. But it's always in your mind that there's something there.
Yeah. And the stress level and the anxiety, it's going to be there, but in a way it already has, like, and I think the most important thing, and that it's might actually be good that you're anxious, because that means that you care about it. It puts you on hyper alert, because one of the things that it starts to teach you about things that you're worried about, something that's not you.
Right, it's a separate thing from you.
Yeah, and like there's remembering that you need to eat like more than you normally would. Remembering that you need to drink water more than you normally would. Eating some things that you probably
wouldn't normally eat,
but now like or
the body like craving,
with Oliver,
or, like,
I needed
a, things
with yeah. with Oliver, I was definitely anemic, and they're like, you need to take more iron. Oh, by the way. You have to take prenatal vitamins. I took them with Sophie. I did not take them with Oliver because I forgot and I just really didn't give a shit.
Well, I actually, before I even got pregnant.
I know
pregnant,
people that never took them and they were
fine. Oliver's fine. I mean, he bumps his head a lot, but he's fine.
Well, I actually started taking.
It might just be because of the size of Oliver's head.
This is true. He likes to,
I love him, but he's got a rather large head.
He does. He likes to run and look behind him. So
That's not how we do this, Oliver.
He's like, I started taking folic acid before I even got pregnant.
I tried with the second time around with Oliver. I tried. I was like, I'm going to start taking my prenatal vitamins because I'm going to try to get pregnant. And then I got pregnant. I was like, fuck those prenatal vitamins.
You know, I used to take my folic acid before I got pregnant. And then once I got pregnant, I took my prenatals, which what they don't tell you about taking your fucking prenatals is that once you get pregnant, those fuckers make you want to throw up.
Well, it depends. It's
official. That's why my OBGYN, he told me, he was like, take them at night before you go to bed.
Yeah, that's why I would take them at night.
You don't have to like deal with the aftertaste, because I made the mistake of not taking it at night and I took it the next morning. And the only time I ever felt sick during my pregnancy was when I took them in the morning.
The only time I felt sick with Sophie was the day that I forgot that I took my prenatal in the morning. So I took it at night.
Oh,
and so I like had a double dose and I felt really sick.
Yeah, you have to take them at night before you go to sleep. And I was taking also vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never thought that, you know, you would be vitamin D deficient living in fucking Miami. But apparently I was.
But if you don't go outside.
I don't go outside.
I don't go outside either. It's okay.
I like going outside.
Yeah. So.
The sun is my friend.
I guess the only thing we can tell you for anxiety is.
The sun gives you wrinkles. So
is that it's going to happen. But you're going to. The feelings. It outweighs it. And even if you hate, because I know a lot of people that hate, like I have a friend that like
Stephanie hated it.
I hated it.
Like,
I loved
you
it.
Hate
so
it,
much.
But you know what? Once it's done, it's that part is done, and then you have a child.
Yeah. Then you get a whole different set of anxiety. Because, oh my God, is the baby breathing? Oh my God, did the baby eat enough? Am I producing enough milk? Did the baby poop enough? Did the baby pee enough? Did the baby eat enough? Oh my God.
My friend, somebody posted a thing today. It was hysterical.
Should he use the pacifier? Should he not use the pacifier?
Yeah. It was a picture that it said, for the first time in months, the baby sleeps through the night.
And you're wide awake the whole fucking
And then it
night.
Says, pause. You checking the baby. Are you still breathing? Mm-hmm. Are you okay? Are you alive? Because now.
But I feel like that's a first time parent thing. I feel like you don't do that the second time.
No, you don't. You really don't. Because with Sophie, I remember the first time Sophie slept more than 4 hours. I woke up because my boobs were exploding. And I was like, and I woke Neri up and I'm like, did Sophie? I'm like, babe, Sophie didn't wake up. And he was like, no. And then I started shaking him. I was like, she slept 5 hours. And he was like, why the fuck are you waking me up?
But I do that now. Like, I'll randomly, like, so Link falls asleep in his bed, but he'll, like, 9 out of 10 times, like, come into our bed.
Yeah.
But, like, on the nights where he doesn't come in, like, I'll somehow unconsciously notice that he's not there, and I'll wake up and I'll be like, why isn't he here?
Yeah.
What's wrong with him that he hasn't woken up and come back in here yet?
Yeah, I don't do that so much like in the middle of the night, but if it's like 6:30 and it's like time to start waking up, and if I roll over and Sophie's not there, I'm like, oh, she didn't come. Like, what happened?
No, see, Nathan, like, the same thing. Like, I expect him to wake up mm-hmm. in the middle of the night. So if like all of a sudden like my body will wake up and it's like 2 or 3 in the morning and yep. I'm like, why the fuck why am I why did I sleep? What yeah. the hell? What did I miss? Was yeah. a kid. And now Nathan has started, which is fucking giving me massive anxiety. That before he used to actually like sleep on his like pillows, and now his new thing is that he likes to sleep off the pillow, like on the bed, and he just like likes to cocoon his ass in the sheet. So I'm like, he's fucking gonna suffocate himself.
He's not gonna suffocate.
I know, but
he's old enough that he can get out of it.
Granted, but still,
I used to do that too. I used to like ball myself in the middle of the bed. Like it's yeah. he'll be fine,
yeah. which is why he's just doing this on at purpose around to his fuck age. Me up.
So
yeah,
he'll be fine.
So
mom is sleeping peacefully. I know a way to fuck it up.
Link, fucking
some, that's
Link has
that's
ended up at the foot of my bed, like, and then rolled yeah. off of it yeah. because he's like me. He's like a restless sleeper. Like he would just move around.
No, I mean, I feel like once you get pregnant, you have the anxiety of holy shit, I'm fucking pregnant.
You're never like, not gonna worry about.
Yeah,
something.
There's always something to worry about. So once you finally like settle your anxiety of oh my god I'm pregnant, it's gonna be oh my god am I gonna be a good mom? Am I gonna be able to do this? Am I gonna be able to do that? Am I gonna be able to do the other? And then you kind of quiet that, and then it's oh my god I have to labor, and then you go through labor, and then you have the baby and you're holding it. I remember with Sophie, not so much with Oliver, but with Sophie, I would hold her. And so after we got home, when I was alone with her, when like Neri had to go back to work or my mom had to go back to work, I would hold her and I'm like, so when are your parents coming to pick you up?
Yeah. Like, I had that thing too.
For like a month.
I had that thing too where I would like tell David, I would be like, so when are this kid's parents coming to pick him up?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel real for a little while.
It was different with Oliver. With Oliver, like I've heard some people say that they didn't instantly fall in love with their baby. Mm-hmm. And I didn't notice it with Sophie, but then comparing it with Oliver, I did not instantly fall in love with Sophie. I fell in love with her. It took a while. It took a couple of months for me to like fall in love with Sophie. With Oliver, it was instant. As soon as I heard that boy cry, I was like, oh my God, Mary's crying. I'm gonna get my kid. Like, I was in love with him right away. But with Sophie, it was like I would look at her and I was holding her and I cared about her. Obviously, I was taking care of her. But I'm like, okay, I'm not this kid's mom. Like, where's your mom? I'm done. Like, I need a break. But I didn't have that with Oliver. Did you have that, Christy?
There was a lot of moments. Not that I didn't like think like, who's your mom? Like there was, and I have said it before. Like there was a lot of moments like with Nathan that I would look at Nathan and like he would be crying or it would be like in the middle of the night and I hadn't slept and I would just be looking at him like, did I make the right decision?
Yeah.
Is it too late? Like, I'm like,
yes, kind of. I do. A little bit.
Kind of.
But then it's like, what do I do now? Like, you know, this is my, that's it. Like, this is my kid. Like, I cared about him and I loved him, but and this is what they don't tell you. There's so much fucking emotion and there so really much is. Shit that you go through after childbirth, and which you can tell me whatever you want, people. But there is no fucking care in this country for mothers after birth. It's all for the kid. Like, yeah, they give you a phone call and they're like, hey, how are you doing?
Well, are you're not you, drowning your baby in the bathroom.
Yeah, like that's about it. But there's no like, you know, there's no psychological like training for yeah, how your mother is going to feel after you give birth.
Well, there is. You just have to search for it yourself.
But that's the thing. No, you
like it's not offered to you.
But that's what I mean. It's not offered to you.
Sweetie, that's the bottom.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But like that's what I'm saying. Like there is not. It's not. There like there go. Is no health care for
BFF.
Like there's no care for a mom. Like basically, you're scheduled for the kid is supposed to go in for a checkup 2 days yeah. after they're born. Mom's not supposed to come in for another 6 to 8 weeks.
No, I went in a couple times. Well, I had a C-section.
Yeah, but like as a vaginal birth.
No, vaginal birth, they're like, no, we'll see you in 4 weeks.
Yeah, like once the kid is...
Yeah, no,
like,
I went 2 weeks after I had them, and then I went 6 weeks after.
Yeah.
To get that fun, you can have sex now appointment.
But... But like that's the thing, is like they don't really like the help, like, and it's kind of is annoying in a way because I like, yeah, like let's take care of the kid, let's make sure the kid's
this
okay.
This is another reason why you need mom friends.
Yes.
Because nobody is going to tell you to take care of yourself like a new mom.
Yeah.
Not even a new mom.
A mom.
An experience. No.
You're right. No.
A mom that's just like a recent mom. Like two plus, between like two and 10.
Yeah, because once they're like.
Because once they're teens, like, they're in a different age. No,
and
bracket. Once
they're. And they're. And listen, as much as. If you do have that support system, as much as your parents or your in laws help you,
they care more about the baby. The baby. Yeah, 100%.
They're not there for your mental well-being. Like, I have to give Jeff credit on the fact that he, at one point, like, grabbed me and said, what's going on? What are you feeling? Yeah. What's going to make it better for you? And that was a discussion we had about breastfeeding. I was like, honestly, I'm not feeling that connection. It's making me feel more stressed than anything else. And pumping isn't helping. Like, and he was like, listen, that's fine. Let's do this.
That's great that he did that.
And like, because he could see that, like, my anxiety level. And I started, and that's when the spiral starts. I started resenting the fact.
It's so hard. It really is so freaking hard. Because you have social media and you have people that are like, breast is best, breast is best, breast is best. And I'm like... And
this is coming from somebody who successfully breastfeed. I was able to
breastfeed successfully. But I supplemented because I couldn't exclusively breastfeed. There was no way I was going to go fucking crazy. And Neri wanted to help and my mom wanted to help. And I had to... With Sophie, I drove myself crazy for about 4 to 6 weeks. I don't remember exactly now. Before I gave in and I was like, okay, let's give her formula. With Oliver, it was like 12 hours and I'm gonna give the fucking kid some formula because I can't. He was cluster feeding. He was every 15 minutes. And
that was Nathan.
There was a day that I took, Oliver was like 6 weeks old. My best friend Patty had just had her son. He was like 2 weeks old. So I went to her house to go see her and to see Ryan. And we spent 2 hours sitting on her couch with our boobs out because both of our babies were cluster feeding. And that was how we hung out that time because we had to. So if you can exclusively breastfeed, fantastic. If you have to supplement, fantastic. If you only formula feed, fan-fucking-tastic. Because fed is best. Period. Yep.
And if you are having the trauma or stress or anything, tell someone.
Yes. There was one day with Sophie. I clearly remember this day because it makes me laugh now. That she, for like 4 hours, I was up with her in the middle of the night. Neri had just woken up to go to work because he was still working at the insurance agency. And he was taking a shower. And I was sitting in the bed rocking back and forth, holding Sophie, not because she needed me to rock her, but because I was going fucking crazy. I was rocking back and forth, and he walked out of the bathroom, and I looked at him like a hysterical person, and I said, I know why people shake babies. I said, I know why people shake babies. And he was like, okay. And he took Sophie from me. He goes, I'm not going to work today. And I was like, thank you so much. And he was like, go to sleep. And he took care of Sophie and I got to sleep for 4 hours. So even if all you need to say is, I know why people shake babies. Because I remember up until that moment, I remember judging the fuck out of people who would shake babies and would, you know, like you would read all these stories like, yeah, the baby had shaken baby syndrome. And I'm like, how can people be so cruel to shake a baby? No.
It's that
I know why people shake babies, goddammit, because sometimes you just want to shake them and be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And that night, I had done everything I could. I had changed her when she first started crying. I fed her. I rocked her. I burped her. I changed her position. I changed her clothes. I did all this stuff for 4 hours so she wouldn't stop crying no matter what I did. And then Neri took her and changed her diaper and she passed out. And I'm like, I'm such a bad fucking mom. And he's like, no, you're not a bad mom. You're just tired. You need to go to sleep.
And they feed off that anxiety.
Yeah, that's the thing is they can pick up on it.
When the baby feels you tense, they get tense. When they feel you upset, they get upset. When they feel you happy, they're happy. You need, like, you... It's so hard with first-time moms. It is so hard with the first baby. If you need help, for anything. If you just need somebody to make you dinner or take out the garbage, you need to ask for it. And don't feel bad about accepting that help. Yeah. Hashtag the truth.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep.
Because you can't, like, we all want to be that super mom to do it all on your own, and you can't do it on your own.
I felt normal-ish. Nathan was 17 months old.
Yeah, it's hard, man.
And then my life got turned upside down, because at 18 is when he had the first episode. So at like 17 months, like a year and a half, is when I think I started feeling I can do this. Like, there was a rhythm. Nathan was sleeping a little bit better. My anxiety level was
And everybody's lower. Different.
Yeah, I just everybody's put different.
It out everybody's different.
But that, like, I'm giving you like an extreme case. Like, and that's when I felt that, like, okay, because my kid's a shitty sleeper. But like, he's starting to sleep better. You know, we had our routine. He was a great kid. He just didn't fucking sleep. Right. So I was functioning off of hours, like, and he was getting better and everything. And then our situation is completely different, because then he had his first seizure episode, and that led us to now every time the child fell asleep after that, I was fucking paranoid. So then it became, I need you to sleep, to why are you sleeping? Are you okay? What's going on? So yeah, like, but it took a while for me to feel, and also that's how long it took for me to feel like me.
Yeah.
Like that I could, you know, get dressed and I felt good about myself and stuff like that. I had like a fake one like at 6 months. Actually, no, I'd lie. I had a fake one like at 4 or 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went on a work trip.
Yeah. Well, you got a break.
Yeah, so I felt like a fake one, but then when I came back home to reality, fucked me up again.
Sucks.
Yeah, but like, I think like the best thing that we can tell you is, if we didn't scare you off of having children, is
make sure you have mom.
Is scour your friends.
Hey, OBGYN, dude, write to us.
Yeah,
write to us.
I mean, up.
You clearly know we're already moms. We have clearly no shame. So
I'm up in the middle of the night.
Listen, if you want, like,
it's okay, true. There are times I've gotten up in the middle of the night and homegirl's up.
Yeah, there's
time, so I want to post in the group chat and I don't, because I realize what time it is. Like, well, they're gonna judge anyway. My ass.
People, at least with me, I don't know about you guys, but at least with me, people told me all their fucking horror stories. Oh, my friend was in labor for 36 hours. My daughter, no sé qué. And if you want the fucking truth, find a mom. Find a mom. A mom will tell you the truth.
And just learn right now that for the next, if once you have a kid, through like the next like 4 or 5 years, maybe 6 even after that, most conversations will be brutally honest.
Oh, yeah.
And will be about like, oh, because when I gave birth, or when after the kid was born, or poop explosion, or moms lose all fucking filters.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no sugarcoating it with a like a newbornish mom or like toddler mom. Mm-hmm. Like, you may get the fake Facebook or Instagram moms that's like, everything is fucking adorable and fabulous. And no, but if you actually talk to these people, yeah, no. But yeah, I guess Stephanie hated being pregnant, but she loves being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I was okay being pregnant. Love being a mom. Vanessa loves being fucking pregnant.
Yeah.
Loves being a mom. So basically, it all comes down to just get through it.
Yeah.
And then you get to be a mom. And even the shittiest day, you're still somebody's mom.
Yeah. And like,
I think that's
my kid's really fun. Like, I mean, I like, you know, so like, I you know, we have fun. We have good time.
But like, that's the thing. Like, even the shittiest day,
yeah,
you're still a mom. Like, you're somebody's mom. Like,
yeah.
Even like when it's a bad day.
Okay, I've had a bad fucking week. Like, this, at least with Sophie, this week has been god awful. And today, it was magic. Today we had a great fucking day. And you're like, wow, like, I made these little people. And we had a really good time. We went to the movies today. Like, Oliver and I had a sing-along at the movies. I don't give a fuck that we annoyed everybody around us. Because I had a good time with my kids. Like, we had fun.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like, it's so weird because these kids will drive you to the brink of insanity. And then with one little doodle or one little, mommy, I love you, you're like, oh my God, this is great.
Mommy, listen, Mama, I'm happy you're my mom. Yeah. I'm happy. No. What is it that he told me?
I'm happy I'm your kid.
I'm happy to be your kid, yeah, is what he told me.
Yeah. Listen. Well, yesterday, Sophie told me, mommy, I don't love you. Yeah. Like, she made a drawing to specifically tell me
that was
she didn't love me.
That's,
I had a shitty fucking day yesterday.
Way harsh time.
Yeah.
Way harsh
time. And today, we get home from school. Like, I pick her up first. We came home because I knew we were going to the movies at 4. I pick her up at 2. We came home real quick, packed a couple of snacks, and then went to go pick up her brother. And while I'm packing the snacks and getting ready to go, she's like, mommy, I made this for you in the middle of the night, because she has like stuff in her room, like colors and stuff. And she gave me a little piece of paper that said, I love you, mommy. And or she wrote her name, she wrote Sophia Signs, and she wrote, I love you. And then she had the cup from game night that has my name on it. She copied my name off of the cup. And she drew me a heart and, like, she colored the whole thing and it was really cute. And she was like, I made this for you in the middle of the night and I'm sorry I said what I said yesterday. And I was like,
yeah,
I love you too. And it's just, it's like, they can break your heart 1 minute and the next minute they're melting your heart because they're just so fucking cute. You can't stand it.
Look, I spent $30 on fucking Lego dinosaurs. But in the same moment, my kid...
Because you're whipped AF.
Yeah, and my kid almost got hurt tonight. And when I asked him if he needed ice or if he wanted to go to the doctor, he goes, no, mommy, I just want your kisses.
Yeah.
Like, me giving him a kiss on his wrist solved the entire problem. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't explain that. Like, that sort of, like, blind, like,
mm-hmm,
like love. Just love that, like, that. So, as shitty as, like, everything sounds that
he's
happens.
Getting a little mushy for me.
Yeah,
let's,
yeah.
Let's move on.
So, as shitty as it sounds to... sure. As shitty as it sounds to have 9 months of whatever. No, that's fine.
Sure?
Yeah. 9 months of whatever. Yeah. 9 months of whatever problems or medical complications or what it is. You get to be a mom.
Yeah. At the end of the day. Well, like, I have a friend right now who she's well into her second trimester and she's still with morning sickness.
Yeah.
And it's her second baby. And she has a son. Now she's going to have a little girl. And at the end of the day, all of that bullshit, it's not bullshit, all that shit that she's going through, because it is fucking shit. I have my cousin with her first son, had a nurse. She had to have a nurse come to her house every other day to administer IV fluids because she was vomiting so much. And now she has her son. And it's like, there's things like you have with Oliver. The last week and a half of my pregnancy, I had to go to the hospital every couple of days to get an infusion, an iron infusion, because they knew I had to have surgery. Like, I had a scheduled C-section and I needed to have these iron infusions. If not, I was going to need a blood transfusion after I gave birth, and I didn't want to have a transfusion. So, you know, you got to. Yeah, it's nerve-wracking. It's hard. It's even as boring, quote unquote, as my dad called my pregnancies, they're still difficult. Like, Oliver put me in the emergency room one day because I had shooting pains in my lower belly because I was walking too fast.
Yeah.
So
again,
you know, like, shit happens.
Yeah, whether it's good, normal, boring, bad,
dramatic,
you get through it, and
at the end of the day, you have a little person that loves you, no matter what the fuck you do to them.
Yeah, and no matter what they say to you.
No, they love you no matter what the fuck you do to them. Even if they say they don't.
Exactly, that's right. No matter what they say to you,
they love you.
They love you.
So you're being anxious for nothing.
No, and anxiety is real.
Oh, no, it is. Anxiety is real, and it's a bitch.
And your anxiety is going to quadruple, but
and
just
push every
through.
Day it changes. I don't think we've been very helpful.
No, we've been truthful.
I hope we haven't deterred you from wanting to have children, Sarah. I really hope we haven't done that. because it is, at the end of the day, it is a beautiful thing, but it's work. Not gonna say it's not. It's work. And
we are not known for sugarcoating.
No. We'll tell you the fucking truth.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But it's totally worth it. It's worth all the anxiety. It's worth the tears. It's worth the heartache.
And if you don't
the work,
if you don't have mama friends, message us.
Definitely, you need to have mom friends, especially mom friends that are going to tell you the truth. Because having a mom friend that's like, oh, it's all rainbows and sunshine, she's fucking lying. That's not helpful.
She has a night nurse and a nanny. Listen, that's the only way that lady is telling you that shit's fucking rainbows and sunshine. She has a night nurse and a nanny.
What? I mean, I hate her because I would love to have a
nanny. Oh, no, not going against it, but I'd be fucking happy as a clam, too. If
Well, yeah. But it's worth it. All yep. the work is worth it. Yep. At the end of the day, when you look back on it, it's just like when you look at like a failed relationship with a boyfriend or whatever, you look at it and you're like, oh, but we had good times too, when you tend to remember the good stuff. So when you look at a baby, when you look at a pregnancy, you I mean, except for Stephanie, because she knows she hated it. But
yeah, sorry.
Like, I loved being pregnant. I am dying to be pregnant again, but I'm trying to be responsible.
Boo responsibilities.
Responsibility sucks. So I mean,
that's the best we can do.
It's the truth. It's the truth. You get anxiety, but it's worth having the anxiety.
Yep.
And I think this is a good place to leave it, because we're kind of just going in circles at this point. So thank you for reaching out to us, Sarah. We love hearing from you guys. And just to like touch on hearing from you guys, we posted about it earlier this week. We had our first troll, and I just wanted to thank all of our listeners who stepped in and stood up for us. You guys are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And we love you. And love your faces.
And we also came across something that I feel really bad that we didn't see it, but like Instagram and these feeds and the new like algorithms fuck up like how they actually show up on our feed. But we came across
Cynthia.
We saw your post about the Mamas and Merlot.
We're like a month, exactly like on the dot a month.
Yeah. Poster that you have in your office, and we love it, and we love you, Cynthia. You've been like, we noticed
you've been like a friend since day one.
Yeah, you have been. She sent us a wine recommendation, I think.
Yeah, from the beginning, and she likes all of our posts. Like, you know, we know that you listen, and we appreciate it, and
we really do.
We really do. It's people like you that make our day's a little bit happier.
We totally made my day today.
Yeah, we needed it today. We got a little bit of
harshness. Heidi likes our post.
I love that.
Heidi posted something about breastfeeding the other day, and we retweeted it, and she liked it. We will get you, Heidi.
Yes.
But we will get you to pay attention to us.
We had a little bit of a harsh start, and it really made our day to find that from Cynthia. Yeah. And just know that what we're doing.
Last week was kind of shitty with the troll. And just like having Sarah write to us and having Cynthia, you know, she has her fucking logo in her office.
Yeah.
Like, that is so fucking cool.
That's super cool.
It makes us happy. It makes us know that no matter what somebody will try to tell us, that we mean nothing.
Mm-hmm. Clearly we mean it.
You guys are making us realize that we're not just speaking to air.
We're not talking to just each other. When we say we have listeners, you're actually there.
And we appreciate it, and we love you guys.
We really do. We love you. We love you every time you like one of our posts, every time. Well, not every time, because this is the first time it's happened, but you have our logo in your office. That's so cool. I'm blown away by that, because I have it in our office, but it's my logo.
We have stuff with Mamas and Merlot on it, but it's
us.
It's ours, yeah.
It's ours, but the fact that like somebody went out of their way, and I think it was a gift to her, like somebody made it for her, so that means she's talking to people about us, which is so cool. I feel so special.
And like, honestly, Cynthia, get in contact with us. Send us an email. Send us anything. Because if you can give me your address, I will make you a Mamas and Merlot wine glass.
Yes.
Because I think you deserve one.
I agree. She's like number one fan.
Yeah, because you don't understand how
good it felt yeah. to see it, especially after the week we've had.
Right.
Yeah, it was wonderful. So thank you so much for that, Cynthia. And on that note, let's just talk about our wine, because the wine made me feel special too. We are drinking a Diseño Malbec from Mendoza, Argentina. And I really liked it.
It was good.
It didn't go good with the chocolate, I don't think, but it is...
It was good.
Wait, but okay, so it says, Diseño Malbec, a rich wine with an inviting bouquet of stone fruit. I don't know what
the stone fuck fruit. Is a stone
fruit? I don't know, but it's a... yeah, it says stone fruit. A hint of coffee complements the blueberry spice and chocolate flavor, so it should go good with chocolate, but I don't think it went good with our Oreos.
What does it smell like?
I don't know. But I did enjoy the wine.
I did too.
I liked it a lot. So that's what we were drinking today. And again, thank you to Sarah for writing to us. Thank you to Cynthia for being such an awesome fan that somebody bought you something with our logo on it. And thank you to everybody for listening to us. We love your faces. Oh, wait. Find us on the Geek Bro Network. We're on Acast. We're on iTunes.
To the list.
We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. Mamas and Merlot, MOMMASANDMERLOT at gmail.com. Write to us, whatever you want. We're here. We love your faces. And cheers.
Cheers.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.